So the book of Hosea. From chapter 5, verse 15, through into chapter 6. And it says this, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offence and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early. Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he has torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, his going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. Praise the Lord. Let's bow our heads in prayer as we come round scripture. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God and my King. Praise you, Heavenly Father, that through the precious blood of the Messiah, we can come before you, Lord God. I just pray, as we go through this short passage, Lord, that there might be things we know already, there might be things we don't know, Lord God. I just pray that, Lord God, you would just be in everything this evening, Lord Jesus. That you'd be in everything this evening, Yeshua. That all glory would go to you, Lord. That it says in your word, man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So I pray, Lord, that you give us ears to hear what you want to say to us, that you give us hearts receptive to your word, that you'd, Lord God, open up our eyes to behold wondrous things in your law, Lord, that you would be given all the glory, Lord, that you would just brood over us, Lord, that, Lord, at the end of the day, Lord, it's your Holy Spirit and your word that brings revelation, Lord God. And, Lord, I would pray that our lives would be transformed as well, Lord, that, Lord, that we would gain knowledge, not just for knowledge's sake, but we would gain, Lord God, wisdom that we can apply to our lives, Lord God. That, Lord, our desire would be to see you move in this nation, to move across this the nations of the world, Lord God, to see you move in power, Lord God, that people would come to know the Messiah, that all glory would go to you, Lord, in your name. Amen. And you praise, Lord. So in verse 15 of Hosea chapter 5, it tells us this, I will go and return to my place till they acknowledge their offence and seek my face. In their affliction they will seek me early. Now, who is speaking here? The Lord is speaking here. Yeshua is speaking here. When did he return to his place? When he ascended. You know, at the end of the day, this is prophetic. This is pointing towards the fact that Messiah came. The Lord came in the person of Yeshua. The word of God became flesh and dwelt amongst us. And he came 2,000 years ago and he returned to his place. And he says here, when he's going to return, he will return when they acknowledge their offense. Who are those who are going to acknowledge their offense? The Jewish people, they're going to acknowledge their offense. You know, Yeshua is 100% God, 100% man. He's going to return when the Jewish people say, Baruch haba b'shem Adonai. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. That's in Matthew chapter 23, verse 39. Scripture tells us that. That includes the Jewish leaders. Who did Yeshua say this concerning? Jerusalem. He's returned to his place until the Jewish people recognize who he is. And you know, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10 tells us an important prophecy which is going to come to pass in the future. In the future, which is what? Does anyone know it? Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10. I'm going to turn to it quickly. I do know it. Who are they going to look upon? That's exactly right. Who said that? Praise God. A number of people said that. Praise the Lord. Do you know, if I had sweets, I could praise God. Do you know, you go to some places, and you know, at the end of the day, a lot of people don't know this stuff. And it's basic stuff. It's stuff that we need to know because the Lord's word will come to pass. He's a covenant-keeping God. So in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, it says this, and this is the Lord speaking again. So the Lord who's returned to his place will come when the Jewish people acknowledge their fall. And it says this, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplications, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him as one mourner for his only son, and shall be in bitterness for him as one that is in bitterness for his firstborn. Revival is going to happen to Israel as a nation. And you know, praise God for Messianic Jewish believers. My wife is a Messianic Jewish believer. Praise God for that. You know, praise God for that, because Scripture is clear. Blindness has happened in part until the fullness of the Gentiles come in. Where does it tell us that? Romans chapter 11. I'm sure we're familiar with this. So Romans chapter 11, a scripture that we should all, in a sense, be familiar with, it says this, verse 25. It says, verse 25 of Romans And this is, the Holy Spirit speaking to us through the word. This is God's word. It says, for I, and this is Paul speaking, as the Holy Spirit moved upon him, it says, for I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So notice, this was a mystery which previous to the Holy Spirit revealing this to Paul wasn't known in the past. When you see the word mystery in Scripture, it's not mystical. A mystery is usually something that wasn't known in the past, and the Holy Spirit reveals to us through the word now. And this is a truth revealed to us in Scripture, revealed to Paul originally. It says this, for not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery. So he doesn't want us ignorant concerning this, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be coming. Notice it says blindness in part has happened. So if you're a Jewish person this evening who knows the Messiah, that tells us blindness has only happened in part. There are some Jewish people who know their Messiah. And praise God for that. But one day, I believe on the basis of Scripture, there's coming a time when Israel will experience national revival. That's what Scripture teaches. And it tells us this, that blindness is in part until when? Until the fullness of the Gentiles have come in. So, if you're a Gentile tonight and you don't know the Lord, I'd say get to know the Lord, because you might be the last Gentile ever to enter the kingdom of heaven. When that happens, praise God, Israel will be saved. No, praise the Lord. That's why we should be proclaiming the gospel, sharing the gospel. There's going to come a time when the fullness of the Gentiles has come in. That's what Scripture tells. It carries on. Verse 26, and so all Israel shall be saved, as it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob, for this is my covenant unto them. Notice, who was the covenant made with? Israel. It was his covenant unto them. And praise God, when Yeshua hung on that tree, when he died for the sins of the world, effectively, that covenant was inaugurated for Israel initially. He enlarged the covenant to include Gentiles. And Gentiles are brought into the commonwealth of Israel, according to Ephesians chapter 2. Because it was Yeshua's blood. Yeshua's blood wasn't ordinary blood. It was God's blood. The Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. But, praise God, one day there's going to be the fullness of the Gentiles. Israel's going to be saved as a nation. Praise God for that. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. For whose sakes? Gentiles' sakes. But as touching the election, the chosen, they are beloved for the Father's sake. Beloved, why? Because of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, praise the Lord. Revival is going to come. And all of that is tied up in verse 15. And I believe that on the basis of these few verses we've read, there's going to be a mourning for 3 days. And after that, and we see the results of that in Zechariah chapter 12, verse 10, they're going to come to their Messiah. Praise God for that day. We should be praying for the peace of Jerusalem. We should be praying for Jewish people to come to their Messiah. We should be praying for Gentiles to come in. Because as I said, one day that last Gentile is going to come. Are you all saved here tonight? Do you know the Lord tonight? Any Gentiles who don't? Any Jewish people who don't? No, I can't see anyone putting their hands up. So I trust we all know the Lord. Praise the Lord for that. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So anyway, so we've got this passage in Hosea, written about 750 years before the Messiah came, which is an amazing thing. We know that in a sense it hints at what's going to happen when Messiah comes. What does Messiah do? He dies and he rises again the third day. Praise God for that. But at the end of the day, how does this apply to us right now? So we know it's going to be fulfilled in the future. Israel is going to be saved. We know in a sense it hints at the resurrection of the Messiah. He rose the third day. But how does that apply to us right now? Because I believe there's principles here that we can bring out to help us today. Because the one thing this nation needs, we've heard all about Brexit and all kinds of stuff. The one thing this nation needs, the one thing we need to see in our churches is revival. We need to see the Holy Spirit moving. And I believe these few verses give us a key to this. And ultimately, before I get on to this, the question I want to ask is, are we living in the power of the Holy Spirit now? Are we living in the power of realization our King is alive? Yeshua has risen from the dead. Because so often, we're a bit like Mary Magdalene. Now, if you remember, the Lord died, he rose again the third day. Now, what did Mary Magdalene do? She went to visit the tomb. She came to the tomb, and it tells us in John's Gospel, chapter 20, verse 11, but Mary stood outside by the tomb, weeping, and as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the tomb. She was looking there crying. Why? Because the Messiah's body wasn't there. She was looking back. And one of the things that I believe can hold us back sometimes is that we stop in the tomb. We always talk about the Lord crucified. That's important. But you know, Lord isn't in the tomb no more. So often we reminisce about the past. We reminisce about past revivals. Praise God for past revivals. We should learn from them, but we cannot live in the past. So often we're looking in the tomb, and so often we might have committed a terrible sin in the past. We might have guilt from the past, and we're dwelling in the tomb. If that makes sense, we're looking back the whole time. The problem is, if we're in the Lord, if we've come to him, it's been dealt with, we shouldn't be looking back. We should be looking at the present, into the future, because we should be living in the resurrection power of the Messiah, if that makes sense. You know, but so often, we're caught in the tomb, and we can't get out of that tomb. How do we get out of that tomb? Well, we need to look to the Messiah. You know, the gospel begins with crucifixion, but it goes on to what? To resurrection. You know, there's always resurrection. Praise God, it doesn't end at the cross. There's resurrection life. You know, religion in a sense gets it wrong. Think of Catholicism. What do you have in Catholicism? You have a cross with a little Yeshua on it. That's blasphemous, ultimately, because he's not on the cross no more. He's not in the tomb. He's risen. He's alive and alive forevermore. So why dwell on the past? If you've dealt with it, if you've turned to the Lord and it's been dealt with, move forward, knowing the Lord is with you, knowing Yeshua is with you. Now, in a minute, I'm going to get to myself. I've got all these notes, and as you know, I go through my notes, I go off my notes, and I come back to my notes, or whatever. Do you know the point being, Yeshua is the same. Yes, they stand forever. He's the present I am. He's here now by the power of the Spirit. He's not back there 2,000 years ago. In a sense, he is, because he exists outside of time, and that's something we can't get our heads around so much, but he's God. And that's just, you know, he's the same. Yes, they stand forever in terms of his person. In terms of his ministry, we just have to accept what God's word tells us. It's as easy as that. So anyway, don't look in your tomb. Let me put it like, don't go back. Look to Yeshua. Keep moving forward in him. And now I'm going to get to my five-point sermon. Hallelujah. How many times have you heard me do a five-point sermon? Has anyone ever heard me do a five-point sermon? Has anyone heard me do one-point sermon, let alone five-point sermon? No, I can see Rita saying, no, I've never... So I've got my 5-point sermon. So I hear my 5 points, or I trust the Lord's 5 points. You know, I can have my 5 points, but I trust these are the Lord's 5 points. What are those 5 points? If you're taking notes, the first point is to return to the Lord. The second point is to live in the knowledge he has revived us. I'm talking about new birth. Revived us. The third point is to live in the knowledge he has raised us up. So you might be feeling dreary this evening. You might be going through problems. But, you know, spiritually you're raised up. The fourth point, we should be living to pursue, to go on to know the Lord more. That's the whole purpose of life, is to worship him, to know the Lord, to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, and to live in the experience of resurrection power now, the Holy Spirit at work in us as his body. No, so those are my 5 points. So I trust you've got all those 5 points. And if they're pretty easy to remember, and you can get them all from Hosea chapter 6, from verse 1. And the first point is, we see it here, and like I said, I believe this is going to happen with Israel in the future. But, you know, I believe it's got application for us now. And it's this. Notice it says in verse 1, come and let us return unto the Lord. What does that mean? Repentance. The root in the Hebrew is shuv there. So I've checked it. It's shuv, repentance. Basically, to turn around. And, you know, that basically is what we should do when we feel spiritually dry. Do you feel spiritually dry this evening? I hope not. But if you do, turn to the Lord. If you're feeling dead, turn to the Lord. I'm talking to us as believers. So often we think, oh, it's for the sinners to repent. Well, do you know, we should be walking continuously with the Lord. He who says he has no sin in him, the truth's not in him. If you confess your faults to who? To the high priest, Yeshua. He's faithful and just to forgive us. That's my paraphrase of it. You can read it in the first epistle of John, chapter 1 and so forth. But you know, if you're feeling dry, we always need to come to Yeshua. We always need to turn to him. No passion for seeing the lost saved? Turn to Yeshua. Talk to him about it. It's not just unsaved people who need to turn to the Lord. I often need to turn to the Lord. And if we're honest, I'm sure there are times when we feel dead. We need to turn to the Lord. You know, when you look at revivals in past history, there's always repentance and turning to the Lord. You know, Acts chapter 3, verse 19 commands us, repent therefore and be converted. That repent in verse 19 of Acts chapter 3 is to turn around, to change your mind. That word converted isn't a mystical thing. It's not an ethereal sort of abstract thing. That word to be converted means to change your conduct, your manner of life. That's what it's getting at. You know, it's a repentance, and, you know, our lives should change. You know, if you're a smoker, quit smoking. If you're a drinker, quit drinking.
If you're a drug addict, give up the drugs. You might fall back, but you don't stay there. You get up and you keep turning to the Lord and, you know, ask the Lord to set you free. There has to be a change in lives. Now, I've always had a problem with people who come to the Lord and they carry on doing what the world does. Smoking, drinking, taking drugs. And they see nothing wrong in it. Now, is that person saved? I'll let you figure that one out. But, you know, repent and be converted. There has to be a change. It's not, you know, a change in how we live. A change in our conduct in life. That's what that conversion is all about. And it carries on in verse 19, that your sins may be blotted out. Praise the Yeshua. Your sins are blotted out by the blood of the Lamb, so that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. It begins with turning to Him. Do you want to be refreshed? Turn to Yeshua. Walk in accordance with His Spirit and His Word. Now that's the Lord's promise. There will be times of refreshing, not from the presence of Steve, that's me, not from the presence of our brothers and sisters, that's all part of it. It's from the presence of the Lord Almighty Himself. And as I said, He's here now by the Spirit. Yeshua is walking in the midst of this place by His Spirit. He knows each one of us. He knows what we're thinking. He knows where our minds are right now. Praise God. I love my Lord. So He knows where my mind is right now. Hallelujah. I think you probably know where my mind is as well, don't you? Yeah. Yeah, praise the Lord. I'd be worrying, a bit worrying if my mind was off somewhere else and, dearie me. Do you know, the second point. So my second point is to live in the knowledge that He has revived us. He has revived us. Verse 2 tells us this, after 2 days will He revive us. As I keep, and I'm going to keep repeating that, I believe this is going to be fulfilled for Israel in the future, but it's got application for us now. He will revive us. But we need to remember that Hosea, when he wrote this, is looking to the future. As I said, it hints at what the Lord is going to do. It tells us bluntly what the Lord is going to do for Israel. But you know, what does the Lord do for us the moment we turn to Yeshua? He revives us. In other words, I believe a man must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. That's what Yeshua said in John chapter 3. That's important. You must be born again. You must know the Lord. It's all about new birth. And as I said, remember, it says here, He will revive us. But He's already done it. If you've surrendered to the Lord, you've repented and turned to Him, He's done it. He's revived us. Do you know that? If you know Yeshua, you might not feel like, you might feel tired and weary. We all get weary and tired. But you know, the inner man is a new creation. You're born again by the complete and instantaneous work of the Holy Spirit. New birth. How many times do you hear people preaching about you must be born again in this day and age? You don't hear it often. Maybe that's why I'm mentioning it tonight, because I haven't heard a sermon or a sermonette or about being born again. It's, you know, it's not about following a moral code. It's not about following a religion. It's about following the Messiah, Yeshua. And He said, you must be born again. You must be born again. Remember Isaiah 53, verse 5. I find it so interesting that when Isaiah wrote Isaiah 53, he wrote it as if it was already done in a sense. No, Isaiah 53, where can I find it? Yes, I can. I should be able to find it. Isaiah 53 and verse 4. And I find it so fascinating. It says, surely He has borne our griefs. Who's speaking? Isaiah. Isaiah was Jewish. Who are the hour? The hour are the Jewish people, the plural of Jewish people. Now, I know some Jewish people try and get around this and say, oh, no, it was Israel dying, or you know, being punished for the sins of the Gentiles. But that can't be so. Because in the context, Isaiah is clearly saying, sure, He has borne our griefs. He bore the griefs of the Jewish people, the griefs of Him. And by extension, because as I said, Yeshua wasn't an ordinary man. He was God. He took on the sins of the whole world. So He took my sin and grief. He took your sin and grief, whether Jew or Gentile. That's what the Messiah did. And it carries on. Sure, He has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem Him stricken, smitten of God and afflicted. Notice, it says if it's already been done from Isaiah's perspective. It carries on. But He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him. And with His stripes, we are healed. He speaks of it as a present reality. But I'm sure you're aware. What does the first epistle of Peter, chapter 2, verse 24 tell us? It says, by whose stripes you were healed. It was done in the past. All done in the past. New birth. When did it happen? In the past, when you turned to the Lord. That's when it happens. You're born again by what the Lord did in the past. You know, it's the principle of revival. You've got repentance, but then you've got the knowledge. He has revived us. You're born again. Now, How do you know you're born again? Shall I tell you how? This Holy Spirit, yeah? The Holy Spirit. I'll tell you a nice, easy way. I hope. Easy for me. You know, first epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And I was looking at this last night and thinking about this. And, you know, it's quite simple in a way. Yeah. First epistle of Peter, chapter 1. And it says this. Seeing, in verse 22 of chapter 1 of first epistle of Peter, it says, seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Notice that unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible by the word of God, which lives and abides forever. Do you know how you know you're born again? Love for the brethren, for brothers and sisters in the Messiah. If we turn to the first epistle of John, chapter 4, we see the same thing. Now, I'm not talking about worldly love or anything like that. Do you know, if anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. And that's what Scripture teaches. So we're not talking about worldly love. We're not talking about emotional love. We're not talking about loving the things the world does. We're talking about love amongst the brethren. It carries on in first epistle of John, chapter 4. From verse 7, it says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loves is born of God and knows God. Love for the brethren, love for the body, love for the unsaved, to bring them into the kingdom. You know, it's always simple. You know, go for the food of the Spirit. In Galatians, notes, it's fruit, singular. It's all anchored on love. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, it's love. It's always love. Why did Yeshua go to Calvary? Because he's so loved, you and I. How do we know if we're born again? The fruit of the Spirit, love for the brethren, love for one another. Now, you know, one of the things, Lord's word, I've said it before, is so practical and straightforward. It's so wonderful. That's how you know, really. So, my third point, to live in the knowledge he has raised us up. No, Hosea chapter 6, verse 2. It says, after 2 days he will revive of us, and in the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Do you know, the spiritual reality is, if you've repented and turned to the Lord, and you're born again, where are we right now? Yeah, praise God. We're seated in heavenly places. Now, I must admit, it doesn't always feel like that. But, you know, we walk by faith, not by sight. It's a faith walk. It's not a feeling walk. It's a faith walk. Turn with me to the book of Ephesians. The book of Ephesians, chapter 2. Ephesians, chapter 2. I'm going to get there in a minute. Ephesians chapter 2, from verse 4. And it says this. So Ephesians chapter 2, verse 4, it says, but God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love, wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins. Do you know, we were once dead in sins. We were once dead. Now, we might have looked alive, but really we were dead. Spiritually, dead. But praise the Lord, he brought new birth by the power of the Holy Spirit when we turned to Messiah. It says anyway, even when we were dead in sins, has made us alive, quickened us together with Messiah. By grace you are saved, and has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Messiah Yeshua, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through the Messiah Yeshua. No, praise the Lord for that verse. In the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace. Do you know, I don't believe that's talking about here, now. They might include that. It's talking about the millennial kingdom and into the eternal state. And you know, forever and ever, for you and I, both Jewish people and Gentiles joined together as one new man in Messiah, that's going to declare the exceeding riches of God's grace. Do you know, you are here this evening by the Lord's grace. I like that acronym, you know, God's riches at Christ's expense. No, praise God for that. And right now we're seated in heavenly places. Doesn't feel like it, but we are. Right now we're seated here. We're looking at one another. And I'm always conscious that my hair is getting thinner and thinner, getting more wrinkles. Praise the Lord. But I'm sure my wife doesn't notice them. Like I don't notice hers, praise God. Hallelujah. You know. But at the end of the day, the real us right now, born again, it's in heavenly places. Now, praise God, we've been risen in him. And you know, where have I got to? Oh, my fourth point. Cool. I've got all these little points written. My fourth point. So this is my 5-point sermon, but this is my fourth point, which I've lost. Right, I found it. Okay, so I'm back to Hosea. What did it say? Verse 3. It carries on. Then shall we know if we follow on to know the Lord. He's going forth, he's prepared as the morning. Now it tells us, in one version, I believe it's New King James Version, it says, let us know, let us pursue the knowledge of the Lord. Do you know, Hosea chapter 4 verse 6 tells us a really important truth, and this is one of the reasons why I believe Israel and the Jewish people got cast off for a time, but praise God, in the future they can come back. In verse 6 it says, my people destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee. Do you know, the only real source of knowledge ultimately, when it comes down to it, it's not your political pundits. I love political pundits. I really love politics and all of that kind of stuff. But you know, that's not where you're going to get true knowledge. True knowledge comes from God's word. Amen. And the Holy Spirit breathing life into this book. And that's the only real source for knowing the Lord. How do I know the details of the gospel? Where how do I know that particular revelation? All through God's word. How do I know the Lord loves the Jewish people? He loves me and he loves us here. Through the word. It's all through the word. How do I know how history is going to work out? Through the word. How can I have assurance? Through the word. If you want assurance tonight, it comes through scripture. Do you know, one of the things is a lot of believers don't know their own scriptures. I mean, it's a tragedy. Do you know, how much do we love the Lord? You only love the Lord as much as you love this book, really, because this is his letter, his story for us. You know, praise the Lord for that. And you know, ultimately, if this book's rejected, then in a sense the Lord's rejected. Do you know, there's only one excuse I can think of for not reading the word if you're a believer, and that's you can't read. That's the only excuse. There's no other excuse. If you can read, God has. Do you know why I believe God gave us communication, gave us the ability to read? So we could know him, so we could read his word. So he could communicate with us. That's the ultimate purpose of language, really. Yes, it's with one another, but ultimately, it's so we can know our Lord, know his salvation. You know, in Amos chapter 8, from verse 11, it tells us this. It's clear that the Lord is going to send a famine. Behold, the days are coming. We've heard, I think Chris Hill's mentioned these verses. Yaakov Prasher's mentioned it. I think I've probably mentioned it before. It says this in Amos chapter 8, verses 11 to 12. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. The tragedy is, what have I got in my hands? What have you got in your hands? The word. You've got it in your hands. And you know what I find so amazing is the word is not far, far off. Now, where does it tell us that in Scripture? Deuteronomy chapter 30. So I'm going to go to Deuteronomy chapter 30. I'm always all over the place in Scripture. But Deuteronomy chapter 30, and this is quoted, what I'm going to read is actually quoted again in Romans chapter 10. But in chapter 30, from verse 11, and this is what Moses wrote, and this is, you know, God's word. It says, for this commandment, from verse 11 of chapter 30 of Deuteronomy, for this commandment which I command thee this day, it is not hidden from thee. So no, it's that's addressing us as individuals. It's not hidden from thee, neither is it far off. It is not in heaven that thou should say, who shall go up for us to heaven and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. Neither is it beyond the sea that thou should say, who shall go over the sea for us and bring it unto us that we may hear it and do it. But the word is very near unto thee in thy mouth and in thy heart that thou mayest do it. The word is near. It's not far off. If we turn to Romans chapter 10, it quotes from what Moses wrote. And we find that this is dealing with the Messiah. And so often people go to and fro, seeking a word here, seeking a word there. The word is near. You don't have to go halfway across the world. People do that. craziness. The word is near. Chapter 10, it tells us this. Verse 5, for Moses describes the righteousness which is of the law, that the man which doeth them those things shall live by them. But the righteousness which is of faith speaks on this wise. Say not in thine heart, who shall ascend into heaven? Where did we read that? Back in Deuteronomy. That is to say, bring Christ down from above. Or who shall descend into the deep? That is to bring up Christ again from the dead. But what saith it? The word is near thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Yeshua Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. The word's not far. Yet there's a famine. A man must be born again. There's a famine, but the Lord is near. He's always near. You know, praise Lord. My fifth point. I think this is my last point. Could be my last point. Or will I sneak another one in? That would be my fifth point. To live in the power of the resurrection. To hunger and thirst for him, to live, you know, to desire the rule of the Holy Spirit. So we've had repentance, we've had living in the knowledge he has revived us, new birth, knowing that he's raised us up, pursuing to know the Lord, to know him, the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings. That's all in Philippians chapter 3. To know him, but then to live in the Holy Spirit, resurrection power. You know, what does rain speak of? Well, in Hosea, it talks about, I forgot I was in Hosea, let me go back to Hosea. So in Hosea chapter 6, and we've almost landed, it says this, then shall we know, if we follow on to know the Lord, verse 3, he's going forth, is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain, unto the earth. How does he come to us? The Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit work in us. No, praise the Lord. Where's the head? Up there. So how, where's his body? Where's Shu and I? He works through us. How we need that resurrection power today to, you know, that's really all to do with revival and to design hunger for him. So the Lord makes a promise when we turn to him, new birth, raised in him, we should go on to know the Lord, but he promises times of refreshing, the Holy Spirit. Now turn with me to Isaiah chapter 55. Isaiah 55. And it says this, verse 1, ho. And I believe in the Hebrew, it's oi. Like oi, vey, oi. Oi, wake up, everyone, oi. So anyway, I'll read the English. Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. Come to the waters. Do you want refreshing? Come to the waters. Come to Yeshua. Come to the Lord. Come ye to the waters. And he that has no money, come ye, buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. You don't get many things in this world for free. But, you know, Lord offers a freebie here. Praise the Lord. And that's to his children, to you and I. No, ho, come. If you're thirsty, come to the Lord. No, verse 3, incline your ear and come unto me. Hear, and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. Praise the Lord. Incline your ear to him. Verse 5, behold, thou shalt call a nation that knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee. Because of the Lord thy God, and for the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call you upon him while he is near. Amen. The word is near. No, praise the Lord. Are you thirsty? Do you know the key? I said at the beginning, this nation needs revival. It begins with turning to the Lord. It's really simple. As I said, go through. We can't live in the past, but go through history. The things you always pick up are repentance. Turn to the Lord. Times of refreshing from his presence. But it begins with thirsting. Are you thirsty? Am I thirsty? Am I thirsty enough? No, we need to be like David. I'm going to turn over to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, which is one of my, it's one of my favourite psalms. But Psalm 42. Tells us this, verse 1. Psalm 42, as the heart, a heart is basically a male deer. But as the heart pants after the water brooks, so pants my soul after thee, O God. Are we thirsty for the Lord? Are you thirsty to know him? Do you know the whole purpose of life? It's to worship him, to glorify him, to know him. You were created for fellowship with the King of the universe, with God. That's what covenant is all about, relationship. Really, ultimately. And worshipping him, to know the Lord, to know him. It carries on verse 2, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Do you know, do we long for that? If we don't, then what do? We just turn to the Lord. Lord, give me a heart after your own heart. Now, to be like David. To have a heart after God's own heart. You know, it tells us in verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water sprouts. All thy waves and thy billows have gone over me. Deep calls unto deep. Inside, here, deep calls unto deep. Does your heart cry out to the living God? Does my heart cry out to the living God? This nation needs revival. The house of the Lord needs revival. Do you know, you and I could be a catalyst for that. I'm ordinary. We're ordinary. But you know, the Lord looks for ordinary people because there's something extraordinary in you if you're born again. There's a treasure. The Lord lives in you. And you know, it's not to do with age. How old was Moses when he started his ministry? How old was Abraham? Sarah? Do you know, so often we say, oh, let the young people do it. Let the young people do it, yeah. But let the old people do it as well. Yeah. Have you got breath in your lungs? Amen. Then you're still part of this generation. Amen. Think of the men in the Bible. Because how often, you know, it's popularism. Oh, yes, get the teenage. No, no, no. Look at all the people in the Bible. Amen. Just look at it and say, if you can use those people, Lord, you can use me. You've got treasure in you, the Holy Spirit. Praise God. You know, so I'm going to finish there. I'm going to pray, and after I've prayed, I'm going to hand over to Bernard after I've prayed. And you know, I hope those 5 points have been useful. I hope, you know, that Lord will use that, you know, just to chew over when you get home or through the week, and ask the Lord to show you more. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, my God and my King. Thank you, Lord, for this evening. Lord, I just pray that your Holy Spirit would be at work in us, Lord, that when we leave this evening even, Lord God, that, Lord, your Holy Spirit, your Ruach HaKodesh, would bring things to remembrance, Lord. That I pray our heart's desire would be to know you, to know the power of your resurrection, to know the fellowship of your sufferings, that we might even attain to the resurrection, Lord. That, Lord, all glory would go to you, Lord. That, Lord, I believe, Lord, your word never returns void, Lord. We know that the covenant you made with Israel, we're living in exciting times. The Jewish people are back in their land, Lord, and we're looking forward to that time when all Israel shall be saved, Lord. But I pray that you'd be at work in us here, that you'd be at work in this nation, Lord, that we would see hearts and souls turn to you, that we would see people saved, born again, for your glorious kingdom, Lord. I just thank you for this evening, Lord God. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for getting us here safely. And I pray when we leave later on, Lord God, after fellowshipping, Lord, I pray you'd give us travelling mercies home as well. Lord, we just lift all these things up before you. In your name, Yeshua. Amen. Amen. Well, praise God.